Can you believe this? I squint to see through the windshield of our rig. Thick, wet snowflakes obscure our vision as they hit and slide down the glass in a sheet of slush. Mother Nature in the Colorado Rockies sometimes surprises us with erratic weather. In this case, a snowstorm in early May. No, I cannot believe this shit. Even yesterday, I was out and about in shirt sleeves, but sometime overnight, this cold front settled in, and I had to wear a jacket going into work this morning. It wasn't snowing then, but it sure as shit is now. Days like this, I wish I was back in New Mexico, where at least the weather is predictable, I share with Ryan Patterson, my partner. An EMT, he drives the ambulance, while I usually man the back of the rig. For years, I worked as an EMT in Farmington and finally went back to get my paramedic certification. When I moved to Durango almost a year ago, I was lucky enough to get hired on as a paramedic through Mercy Hospital right off the bat and have been teamed up with Ryan from day one. He's a good guy, a little older, maybe mid-40s, with a couple of kids and a sweet wife. I'm happy to be matched up with a married man. It sets clear boundaries from the get-go, something I needed after maneuvering the blurred lines of a workplace romance. No chance of that with a good-hearted, family-oriented man like Ryan. He treats me like a sister, not quite like my brother Damien, who is protective to the point of overbearing and doesn't trust me to look after myself, let alone others. Ryan actually respects me. He has no problem letting me take the lead on calls and has faith in my abilities, as I do in his. Most men I know would feel called to take over by mere gender distinction. We make a good team. Ryan pulls up behind a police cruiser at Joel's Bar on West 8th, where we were dispatched. A single police officer is trying to disperse a small group of onlookers, crowding a man lying on the sidewalk. I quickly grab my trauma bag from the back and rush over to the prone man. What happened? I ask the fresh-faced cop I've only seen around once or twice. Belker or something.
Slip and fall. Unresponsive, is the curt answer.
I throw a quick glance at the young officer to see what his deal is, but he just looks nervous, keeping his eye on the crowd. A low moan draws my attention back to the man on the ground. I'd guess he would be north of 50, dressed in well-worn clothes not suited to our current weather. But I'm pretty sure he's beyond caring. The alcohol fumes rising up from him make me gag. I don't get any real response when I ask a few basic questions, so I quickly examine him on the spot as Ryan pulls up the stretcher.
What have we got?
He asks, leaning in before he visibly recoils.
Other than inebriation, he adds quickly.
Judging by the deformity of his left forearm, I'd venture to guess fractured. Other than that, doesn't respond to simple questions, so he may have hit his head. Let's stabilize him and take him in. It takes us less than 5 minutes to get him secured on the stretcher and loaded up. In the meantime, another patrol car has shown up, and I give a quick wave at the officers before climbing in the back of the ambulance. I radio ahead, so the ER knows what to expect, and cringe when I hear the voice coming back at me. Dr. Scott Lipsick, or Limpdick, as Ryan likes to call him.
Get a saline IV going,
he orders in that annoying drawl of his.
It'll save us time here. It's busy.
Even just his voice makes my hair stand on end. The guy is a sleazeball. 10-4. I quickly respond, effectively ending the call before I turn back to my patient. He barely moves as I remove the strap pinning his arms to the board so I can place the IV. Leaning over the gurney, I pull everything I need from the small storage shelves when I feel a burn on my upper thigh. I rear back to find my patient grinning wildly, a switchblade in his good hand. What the hell?
Don't touch me!
Is about the only distinguishable thing coming from the man's mouth as he struggles to free his legs from the stretcher.